Welcome in, everybody, to Betting Pros. It's time to place your bets. It's me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and it's time to take a look at UFC 300. And who better to talk about the tail of the tape and who better to break down all these fights from a wagering perspective than our good friend Mike Iorata from Mad Lab MMA. You can follow him on X at Mad Lab MMA. And, of course, head over to MadLabMMA.com. Easy as that. We've got a great UFC card ahead of us this weekend, and I can't wait to break down the fights with Mike.
Yeah, you know, this is a great fight. I mean, it's an amazing fight. When you look at it, you kind of wish you knew both of these guys were both at 100. You know what I mean? But I'm a firm believer in, you know, your genetics really play the biggest part in your injury recovery. You can have the greatest surgeon in the world, and he does. He has the surgeon that did Aaron Rodgers' Achilles, so you know he's in great hands. But at the end of the day, your body tells you how you heal. And then the average time to heal from this injury is 12 months. You know, so you got to remember, if this guy's coming back on 9 months, he had to injure the Achilles, and then he had to recover, and then he had to actually have some sort of a camp. So I'm really not sure what Jamahal Hill we're going to get here. So when you look at these odds, to me, that, you know, you're getting a guy in Alex Pieta who is a world-class kickboxer. The guy has the, I call the death touch. The guy just knows where to put it on you, when to put it on you. And my concern in this fight is the leg kicks. This is a guy who has nasty, nasty low kicks. Jamahal Hill is known to be a switch fighter. He switches on southpaw. He switches off. How is he going to handle that? And when he does get that first sting and that Achilles, is he going to think that it's maybe from that first kick? Those kicks are so heavy. Or is he going to start worrying about that Achilles, start backing that foot up and realizing, like, I either got to be all the way in or all the way out? Because if he's in the mid-range, that leg's going to get picked apart. So I'm leaning towards the champ here, and I think the odds are, you know, they're tightening up. It's about minus 120 right now, I believe, for Poatan. I do like that bet. It's probably on a card like this where there's so many great bets, it's not one I'm rushing to the window for, but if I had to choose a side, I would take the champ.
Well, it's interesting, too, because as you said, you got Pereira at minus 140, 120 in some other spots. Hill at plus 10. So it's actually pretty tight. Interesting, too. You're looking at the reach, the size, you know, the weight class. Everything is so tight with these guys, too, in terms of physicality. So maybe a little bit closer than we realize. But obviously, Pereira has been just incredible for the last year or so. Let's go to the next bout here. Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. A lot of people are looking forward to this one on the card when this one was announced. A lot of people are very excited. Holloway, you're getting around plus 138. Justin Gaethje at minus 178. Gaethje, obviously the favorite for a reason here, but I think a lot of people feel like this could be one of those that does go to a draw even, because these are two prime fighters in their prime. So when you're looking at this fight, what stands out to you between Holloway and Gaethje?
So I think a lot of people are looking at Holloway's last fight when he first came up, and he didn't look that great. He was a little out of shape. He had to put on this weight in about 5 weeks, which that's not good weight. There's a big difference between putting on quality mass and crappy mass, and he put on a lot of crappy mass for that fight. He was getting bullied around. He looked a little smooth in the cage, but at the end of the day, still Max Holloway. He did it all the right way this time. He was in a weight room. He put on good size. If you see him with his shirt off and you see him in camp, you can see he put on that quality size, that quality muscle. The thing that I look at this, when you look at Justin Gaethje, when you look at his overall body work in the UFC, I think the most significant strikes he's thrown in a fight is about 149 to 159. It's like around in that range. Got a guy in Holloway who he has no lactic acid buildup. I'm a firm believer this guy has zero lactic acid in his body. He's been in fights where he's thrown 290, over 300. Against Calvin Kattar, he threw over 400, and he just doesn't get tired. So to me, this is a two-sided fight here. As far as one side, Justin Gaethje has to get this done, I think, early within the first couple rounds. I think the leg kicks, I think he could try to be the weight bully in there, and that could work for him. But the longer this fight goes, I think Max starts losing him in translation. I think the volume starts playing a big part, and I think Max can kind of run away with the fight late. How do you pass up Max Holloway on plus money? It's very, very hard for me to do. So that's definitely a bet that I'm looking to stab.
All right, so you're comfortable there with the plus money on Holloway. Let's go to another one, Charles Oliveira against Armin Sarukin. Now, Sarukin, the favorite here, minus 230. Yet Oliveira around plus 175 in a lot of markets here. So my question to you is, Oliveira, a very dangerous guy, a guy that has not been submitted once or even had a submission on him so far in his UFC career, which is kind of stunning to think about. How does that play a part here in these two styles when these two guys face off?
This is crazy, this fight, because when I first saw these lines, I thought they were absolutely maniacal. I was like, this is absolutely crazy. Then when you go back and you start watching film, it started to make sense a little to me why, like, maybe you shouldn't look at that line as so much value. There's value there. Absolutely. This is a guy that comes back from the depths of hell and he will grab your neck, grab a limb and finish you. But if you look at his film, the reason why all this happens is because you have to finish him two times. The problem with a lot of these fighters when they go in and they fight Charles Oliveira is when they knock him down, which he can be chinny, you can put him down in the first round, they are totally afraid to jump into his guard. Because if they jump into his guard and try to finish him, there's a chance he could snatch up your neck, take your back, and take a limb. So ultimately, you're kind of calling him back up to defeated again. You're giving him another breath of life. So technically, you got to beat him two times. A kid like Armin Sarukian is not afraid to jump into his guard. He's got very good wrestling. He showed that with Islam Makhachev on his debut. He's very wiry on the ground. He's got good top pressure. So if he does clip Charles, which is very plausible to happen, he will have no problems with jumping in his guard and finishing him. The problem is he is a young kid, and if he does make one mistake, if you make one mistake against Charles Oliveira, he's going to find a way to snatch up a limb and finish the fight. So this is a fight, ultimately, for me, I'm probably, from a straight wager, going to stay away from. I'm going to pick Sarukian. I'm going to pick the younger kid in this fight, but there is value on some of these prop bets. I mean, if you're a believer in Charles Oliveira's ground game, which everybody is, he's one of the greatest to ever do it on the ground, you can get him at plus 500 at submission, which is a very realistic line. And you can also get him at plus 850 for a first round submission, which is a very realistic line. That's usually how he gets it done. So I'm leaning on the Sarukian side, but there's a lot of value on multitude of bets for Charles Oliveira here.
Well, it seems like, you know, with the heavy juice going on the one side with Sarukian, it might be better to kind of hedge on the other side of it too.
Yeah. Because let me tell you something, that line, there's still value on Sarukian on that line. That line is not a blown out line. I could see him making this look fairly easy if he gets what he wants. But there's that you know, gate of make one mistake and pay.
Now, the women's match here, two fighters from China, which is history in the making, Yan Zhuanan and Zhang Weili are going to be squaring off against each other. So, when you look at the strawweight bout, which stands out to you, obviously, this was a match some people were saying was, you know, not big enough for UFC 300. Some people are arguing that. Others are on the other side of this saying that it's very much a fight that a lot of people do want to see. So what do you take out of the strawweight match?
I think they're looking at like the Battle of China. You know, you got two really tough girls. One of them, you know, is obviously where she is now. And another one's trying to get where Zhang Weili is. But when you look at this fight, I think the line is right. You know, I really, really do. I think a lot of people are mishapping that there are good fighters and there are special fighters. And you know, Yan Zhuanan is a good fighter, but Wiley's a special fighter. So, you know, I don't think she's going to have a problem here. I do think that line is correct. It's nothing that you're going to run to the window for at them kind of odds. If you wanted to tie her into a couple parlays or stuff like that, I know there's the knockout prop that's, you know, sitting around even money a little bit more, but when you have the general public rushing to the window on a prop bet, I tend to stay away from them because sometimes to me that's a little trappy, you know. So it's a fight probably I'm going to stay away from in totality, but I do think the line is right.
Yeah, Weili actually minus 500 right now is a favorite to win that fight. But as you were pointing out, there's a lot of different ways you could approach this. When you look at the undercard too, some of these other fights that are going on, I know Bonacala's on there. You've got some other, you know, matches on here that are very appealing. Is there one that stands out to you where there's a wagering opportunity, whether it be in a knockout, a submission, a draw, something to that effect, or just an outright upset potentially that you see on this board that has your interest? Or are you really just paying attention to these main focus fights that we just talked about?
You know what the crazy thing is? If you look at the first fight of the night, Figueiredo and Garbrandt, that's a main event at the Apex Center. Like, all these fights are main card fights, you know. But I'll tell you two you know, props that are interesting to me. One of them, and I'm not expecting him to win this fight in any way, shape, or form. But if you're a dog hunter and you understand that this is the fight game and anything can happen, Bo Nickel should run over Cody Brundage easily. But listen, it's a fight is a fight. Right shot, right spot, right time. Cody Brundage at plus 3,000 first round KO. You want to throw a little stab on that? Like, I wouldn't hate you. You know, that's one, you know.
Well, even to win outright, he's plus 1,000. So even if you don't want to go too crazy. At the end of the
day, a fight is a fight is a fight. Anything can happen. We know what they're doing with Bo. They're trying to get him over the top. You know, like they say in WWE, get him over the top. That's what you're trying to do. You know, but I don't hate it. Like, that's something. If you wanted to throw 10, 20 bucks on Brundage plus 3,000 first round KO, just to have a little fun.
Well, like, sometimes those are the most dangerous, aren't they, Mike, when you talk about it? Because like, you're always looking ahead instead of looking in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, those are the fights. That's old school Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas kind of stuff, where you're just not paying too much attention. You're thinking about the next fight. And the next thing you know, you're on your back. So I think that's one to really keep an eye on, too. I would agree with you on that one. Mike, obviously, this card, UFC 300, historic as well. Is there a UFC bout for you after all these years that really stands out to you, that was like, this was my all-time favorite, this was the one that really put me over the top, that I love UFC? Just kind of curious, because it does feel like we're in that range where, you know, 300 of these, we're looking back a little bit. Is there a certain card that stands out to you, or a certain main event that always will have a special place in your heart?
I mean, there are so many, but I was always like a violence guy. I liked like the violence. Like when you get guys like Rory McDonald versus Robbie Lawler, you know, when at the end of the round, they both walk full of blood, walking towards each other. They both spit on the cage and walk back to their corner. Like there's just so many fights. I mean, Diego Sanchez back in the day with some of his wars with like Clay Guida and stuff like that. Like just, this is a card that you can have one of those moments. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping we have one of these moments on this card where we talk about it 10 years from now. Do you remember UFC 300? We all know that sometimes when these cards get made, we're like, there's no way that this card's going to, you know, be what it's supposed to be. But look at UFC 299. I mean, how do you beat that? I don't know if you watched that card, but that was one of the best cards I've seen in a decade. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping we get something like this, you know, out of this, maybe a major upset, maybe a Holly Holm, you know, shattering, you know, the crowd again with an upset over someone like Kayla Harrison. You never know. Like anything can happen.
All right, there you have it, everybody. There's the breakdown of UFC 300. Don't forget to download the Betting Pros app and find the best odds on the planet wherever you are wagering. Sync your sports books today and get wagering on UFC 300. Put all this great knowledge to use and enjoy the fights. That'll do it for me, Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.